And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Woo! Goes from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I'm talking about even that prettiest little town on the plains down yonder in Auburn. And I mean to say there's even big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi thrown in, all just for good measure. And we're glad of it. Hey, I got a text line here. I got to jump on before I get way behind. So I'll get some of y'all's input. And I will also point out to you that, yeah, we opened the merch store yesterday, the merchandise store. We got Right Side Ruffian shirts. We got coffee mugs. We got hats. We got stuff. And I'm pretty stoked about it because apparently a bunch of people bought stuff yesterday, which was very cool. The first day we opened it. But here's the thing. It's only if you are signed up for our newsletter. We're giving first dibs to newsletter subscribers, and it's not like it costs you anything. We're just saying we send that out every day. It's called the Right Side Report, and it just has like general stuff about the show, gives you an advanced look at the resources that are going to be on the show, any guests that are coming. We got like the poll at the bottom every day. We got, you know, any podcast stuff. Anyway, the Right Side Report goes out every day, and we thought, you know what? Butters had a great idea. Let's open up the store and thank those people who have been on our subscription list first. And so, yeah, all the sales yesterday were just newsletter. If you want to be on the newsletter, though, you can still get on. I mean, it's not a problem. In fact, I'll tell you what, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. That's our phone number. Just text single word, newsletter. You will get an automatic reply back giving you the chance to sign up for the newsletter. And then for the next several days, that newsletter will have you an opportunity to get into the merch store and look around and buy stuff where everybody else does, because it goes live for everybody later this week. All right, let me get some text messages. John from Harvest. Phil, great monologue. Thank you for you and your family's service. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Said, did you see, by the way, where FEMA under DHS Secretary Noem's leadership is firing four people, including, I did see that, including FEMA's CFO, for sending $59 million to New York City to put illegal aliens up in luxury hotels. DOGE is thankfully exposing fraud and corruption. Yeah, you know what? What's interesting is those payments were in the hopper, and then they were told, hold on all payments, freeze on payments, no payments going out, and they did it anyway. It's like basically saying, I don't believe I have a boss. I want to do this thing. And how well does that usually work out for people in the private sector? Not that good. Thanks, John. Chef Ben from Aniana checking in. Hey, Chef Ben. He says, wow, solid monologue, Colonel. Thank you for your family service and your continued service on these here airwaves. God bless you, brother. We should all be proud to live in this free country. Yes, we should. Chef Ben, thank you very much. Jeremy from Madison says, great monologue. Thanks for your service. God bless America. Thank you, brother. David at Bucky's says, Phil, I retired in 1994. I don't know any of the new names, and until they change our son's birth certificate, it'll always be Fort Rucker to us. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Richard from Madison says, there is nobody who can speak to this more qualified than you, Colonel. Oh, thank you for that, man. I appreciate it. He said, I'm in total agreement with you. However, there was one change that I could get behind a little. Fort Benning being renamed Fort Moore. I agree with that. After Harold Moore, seems rather appropriate. Maybe we can name the new Army post after Command Sergeant Major Plumley. Yeah. Thank you for your service and your continued service to our country and communities. Yeah, that's the one. I mean, now, granted, there's a few of them that I look at and go, that was a DEI name. But then some of them I look at and go, okay, Cavazos, that's real. Novacell, that was real. And I get it, but they still lose all the legacy. So if they change those names, I suspect what they'll do is they'll find some means of honoring those people on post with an installation or some fixture on the post. We'll see. Jim from Athens said, I got a lemon squeezer one of my uncles secured from a German soldier. Okay.
I think he told the rest of the story above that text.
Oh, there's more
yeah,
to it.
Yeah,
I knew there was more to it. I said a story. I had two uncles in the Second World War. They didn't know where each brother was. One day they were walking down the street on the opposite sides and saw each other. Can you imagine the reunion? Wow. He said, my dad was in the Navy at 18 years old and headed to Japan when the bomb was dropped. He's deceased, told me many stories, my hero, my dad. That is very cool. Thank you for your family service, Jim. Appreciate you. I'll get a few more. Ed P. from Huntsville says, Phil, great monologue as usual. I was never stationed at Bragg, but I made many trips there and spent time downrange with 27th Field Artillery. Said, I'm glad the SecDef restored the name, and I hope he does the same for every other post affected by wokeness. There you go. Thanks for your service, John. The other John from Huntsville, is this the right one? Yeah. Phil's spectacular monologue also, because that's the way he always does his text. Phil's spectacular monologue also. Did you hear that Donald Trump announced 25% tariffs on all aluminum and steel? I did. He said, is it good or bad? Because I make most of my money. What's he saying? I've lost my train of thought. I spent most of my money by taking scrap metal, mainly steel, aluminum, and copper. No, it's not going to affect you, I don't think, at all, brother. This is talking about imports. So I don't think you're importing just to scrap it. I think you're still going to have your scrapyard just as well as anything. And do tariffs work? Well, go ask Canada, Mexico, and Colombia how they responded to the threat of tariffs. I think that there might be some pain with China, especially at first. But I think we're going to get things worked out. And I think that the threat of tariffs are just part of, I said it on another radio show this morning, they're just part of the four-part acronym of DIME. I say it all the time, but it's true. DIME, diplomacy, intelligence, military, and economic. Those are the four things you have to be able to force project in order to have your foreign policy impactful in the world. This is the E, the economic. And I think this was, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But right now, I think it's going to work. And John, I don't think it's going to affect you.
By the way, I had a couple of comments on the stream.
Yeah, what you got?
Well, first off, on the Facebook stream, Jason Haggard said, Happy Taco Tuesday, Mega Nation. So there you go. But then we also had a YouTube comment from First Round Buy, is his username. He said, why didn't they just choose another veteran's name other than Bragg?
Because the point was Fort Bragg is the legacy name of the post. I mean, it's got 107 years, I believe, as Fort Bragg. And I mean, we're talking about all the way through, I mean, right after World War One, all the way through World War Two, Korea, Vietnam, up into the times of the, you know, the invasion of Panama, Grenada. I mean, in fact, it was Grenada. I mean, listen, you know, all the units that jumped into Grenada and Panama, the bulk of them were for Fort Bragg. Of course, you had the Ranger Regiment coming out of places like Hunter Army Airfield, but there was, yeah. So I think legacy is a big part of it. Oh. And it's also like, it's like countering the wokeness.
Yeah. Well, Ed P. from Huntsville, I think it's Eddie P. on the YouTube, he commented, I noticed this and I thought it was a genius. Said, many are complaining about the change because it is technically a different Bragg, but I think that was a genius move as there will be no excuse for a future administration to change it back. So that's
exactly right.
They can't claim Confederate, you know,
yeah,
Confederate, whatever, woke reason to rename it. I thought that was genius.
I think it is. I think it absolutely was. Real quick, I'll get a couple more. We got another one. We got two more people signed up for the newsletter. So three more people signed up for the newsletter. Wow, great. Cool. Thomas Mathens, Colonel, thanks for that right side rant slash witness. All of us America lovers can brag, all caps, I see what you did there, about our commander-in-chief and SecDef finally, and likewise for all ruffians to bless and thank y'all for generations of service. Thanks, man. Appreciate you. And then Paul from Athens says, what can be done about BlackRock and Vanguard causing house? Brother, I am not even on that topic. Thank you for texting. I don't know what to tell you. We're going to get to that another day. Yeah. And then brand new texter in the line. Tell us, oh, it's Tony from Trinity. Hey, Tony, glad you're in the queue. I got a few minutes before I can take the break. And sitting in studio right now, military guy himself, Butters. How you doing, buddy? Let me get your microphone ready real quick. How you? I got you on. Are you not on?
Testing. 1, 2.
I don't know what to tell you. Hey, Butters, try that again. Testing. How about swing over here and grab his mic? Is he good?
Yeah, come take my mic real quick.
I'm doing great.
Good. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Are you wearing one of our new merch hats?
I am, which I'm now not in a camera, so you can't see
put,
it.
Put that camera on the dude here. I'll tell you what. Let's do that.
There we go. All right. Yeah. I'm just testing out one of our
It looks
our
good on
hats.
You.
Yeah.
It looks good on you.
I mean, it's not nearly as nice as the fitted one you gave me, but, you know.
The limited edition.
Yeah, that's limited edition.
The leather patch, right side radio.
I'm gonna let that's gotta. I'm gonna let the equity build in that one.
Hey, let me ask you, man. All your time as a naval aviator, how do you feel right now watching? I mean, just as an outsider looking in, but with some skin in the game, how do you feel about what you sense so far In terms of morale and where we're going with readiness and just the general sense of the military with the new leadership.
I wouldn't mind going back in for a few more years.
No doubt.
It's great to see, see him. I think he's doing the right stuff. He's focusing on the boots.
Hegseth.
Yeah. Yep. SecDef, whether it's working out with guys or, yeah. I think those are the things that he's got to rebuild that connection, because the folks that are going to fix this are going to be at the lower levels, quite honestly. That's a long conversation to get into all the mid rank and all that kind of stuff. But
well, if they start firing generals, then there's going to be some room to grow, if you know what I'm saying.
So, getting down to your E4s, E5s, E6s and getting in the room, with your O3s, your O4s, that's what's going
to
fix this.
And I'm going to be the first to admit, and I've said it before on the show, when I first heard Pete Hegseth had been tapped for nomination to SecDef, I was like, Hegseth, the Fox News guy? And then I was like, well, is this like a Hollywood version of what's going to, but I started looking into his, and I already knew his positions because I've heard him talk many times. But then I began looking at his actual resume, and I thought, okay, this could work. And then the more I saw him actually begin to posture for the job, I think he's relaxed, but I don't think he's relaxed yet because he's actually walking around with a kind of a serious look on his face a lot that I didn't see before, but it's because I think he realizes the gravity of his job.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of his he did the Q&A sessions and addressing troops, and you could kind of see it looked to me like it's one of those, like, the realization of, oh, I'm actually the man now, right? Like, it's one thing to talk about it, to go through all that he went through, but then you standing there in front of the room, he made a comment about O-10s or something like that, and and he was like, oh, like it as he's talking about it, he's realizing I'm in charge of everyone now, which is pretty cool.
Including the O-10s.
Yes. and he's handling, he's handling all of it.
And all the GS-99s and their mafia.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely am encouraged, and I think you're going to see morale just go through the roof.
I think you already are. I was talking to somebody this past weekend, and in fact, I was down at Fort Moore this past weekend, and my sense of things right now is that there's already a different feel in the air. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah.
And it's one of those things. It's almost intangible, but it's tangible. But there is a different sense of who we are. It's kind of like there's a freshness and a renewed sense of vigor.
Well, coming from the aviation side of the house as a Navy guy, and dealing with a lot of Air Force pilots and all that, it was particularly in the fighter community. There's a shortage of pilots. There has been for a long time. And it ain't because they're not throwing money at it.
Yeah.
The money doesn't do it. It's there's just something about the culture and all that kind of stuff. And I'm optimistic that this could actually, we'll start seeing those things get fixed.
I think so. And I don't know if Hegseth's going to stay in the entire 4 years of this term. But right now I'm just watching him. And while I recognize he's keeping that professional face on a lot, he's also living his best life, man.
Oh yeah. This has got to be one of the coolest things. I retired as an O4, so I can put myself in his shoes, like the idea, cause I'm sure, 6 years ago, or 2 years ago, who knows how long this was, even a thought? Like, it's got to be pretty cool to go, ooh, I mean, at the same time going, there's a lot of pressure on me. But I know he's getting surrounded by a lot of good guys. And
there is, and what I love is so far the things he said he would do, he's doing.
Yeah, which is
got to take a break.
True of all of them.
All right, we're taking a break right now. We'll come right back. I'm going to jump on in because, man, I got some stuff to cover. I'm done. Number one, the triple dipper. I'm calling it peace through strength, and I'm talking about what that means in light of where we are right now. What are the results? Are you seeing things already? I am. Phil Williams. Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man. saving the world one sound bite at a time. I'm just sitting here talking to JP. That's the bump music. We got to go on the air. JP, you got an audio clip. Heck, Seth, let's do this. Before I even jump into the other stuff about the peace through strength, because it's not all about naming Fort Bragg. There's a lot of other things happening. If you would, go ahead and pull up audio clip number one. This is Hegseth himself. By the way, he was in Europe. He's there now, I guess, maybe on the way back. But he flew via C-17. And now, I'll say this. When VIPs roll in a C-17, they put in a VIP pod. It's like flying inside a hotel room. So he had a good gig. But I don't recall, and he may have, but I don't recall seeing Lloyd Austin flying in a C-17 and going up into the cockpit to sit with the crew and talking to guys who were like the loadmasters and others on the ramp. I mean, Hegseth is actually doing stuff that reminds people that he cares about the little guy, if you know what I'm saying.
I barely remember seeing Lloyd Austin at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I've seen more of Hegseth than this so far than I saw of Lloyd Austin ever.
And by the way, it's all the cabinet members are doing that. Yeah. They're all over the place. They're all like running and gunning right now.
You mean they're actually doing their job? Wow. Interesting.
Funny how that works. This morning, Hegseth did PT, by the way, with members of 10th Group, 10th Special Forces Group. I don't think Lloyd Austin does PT anymore. I'm pretty sure that didn't happen for the last 4 years. In fact, I don't know that I've ever seen, though, the Secretary of Defense go do PT with the troops and hold his own. I mean, he's lifting weights. He's running sprints. He's doing the long run. And, man, it's a whole different day. He was on the C-17 sitting at a desk in his VIP pod and signed the executive order, the order on his letterhead to change the name back to Bragg. Here he is. Play it.
There it is. Pursuant to the authority of the Secretary of Defense, Title 10, United States Code, Section 113, I direct the Army to change the name of Fort Liberty, North Carolina, to Fort Bragg, North Carolina. That's right. Bragg is back.
Bragg is back. It just got all over me when I heard that, by the way. I've spent some time at Bragg. Never stationed there long term, obviously, but both my mopes were out of there and then had time to come and go from there. Same with Benning. And then we were stationed at, I've lived on Redstone. I've either lived or worked on Redstone, Benning, Bragg, where else? Riley, Knox, all over the place. And then overseas, Frankfurt, Germany, London, England. And then, got family members who were in a variety of others. And I'm just, listen, yes, I am enamored of this decision. I think it was a good one. I don't know how he was going to get around the names for the other posts, or if he will, but he says he actually is. He actually said he's going to.
Well, and moments of him talking to the press, he said Fort Bragg and Fort Benning, like made a point to say both of those, so I would assume Fort Benning would be next.
He was an infantry officer, so I'm sure he's been down there at the Maneuver Center of Excellence, which we used to refer to as this building for the infantry school. He's probably got his own memories of being down there at Benning. When we come back, I'm going to tell you why this matters in the eyes of the world. Peace through strength, baby. That's where we are. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studio. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And, oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, let's spend a little time talking about peace through strength. And when I say that, of course, everybody harkens back to the days of Ronald Reagan. Peace through strength. Trust but verify. The idea that peace through strength means we don't have to go fight a war if there are people who don't want to fight because we're too strong and they know it. It's kind of like, we basically clear the ballot of any competition, if you will. Well, why would we not want to be in that position? And so that being said, peace through strength is the projection of power. It's not saying we're going in there to push people around. It's not saying we're going out there to start fighting every foreign war that we can pick. No. But what it's saying is that our enemies recognize that we mean business and we are more than capable and we are more than equipped and that we will return not just blow for blow, we'll return 10 blows for the one they try to give. Now, that being said, there's an attitude shift. There's a complete paradigm shift, if you will, at the Pentagon. There, and I've worked there. The Pentagon, by the way, I was proud to work there. And I was just, you know, I was known as an action officer. Sounds cool, but basically, I was a lieutenant colonel at the time. I had a friend of mine who was a retired 06 call me and he says, Phil, I heard you're going to the Pentagon. I said, I am. He said, just so you know, lieutenant colonels make coffee in the Pentagon. I said, I understand. And it's true. I mean, you're sitting there in the ivory tower, if you will. But it was still very cool. But it was also very cool how layered the bureaucracy was. I mean, I was there working in a skiff on a classified project that was a read-on, read-off. It was called a SAP. And I'm there working on a SAP project that is already over 10 years old, and it hasn't even been implemented. And I'm like, what the heck? These processes around here are ridiculous. And then, you know, the action officers, you had to go to action officer integration course, which I did. And it teaches you how to use the cover sheets for your briefings that go around to get the various signatures. And then you have the Council of Colonels, and then you have the GOSC, the General Officer Steering Committee, and you have all these layers of bureaucracy are so thick. Some of them are necessary. I get it. There's an order to it. There's a means by which things happen, and there should be. But y'all, there were times when it was just, you looked at it and thought, somewhere in this building, there's a good idea fairy who just kind of flies through the building and sprinkles good idea pixie dust everywhere. And people go, hey, here's a new thing. Let's pull up a new acronym and get rid of the old acronym. Why? I don't know. It'll look good on my OER. Oh, wonderful. And we do. Right now, what we're seeing, and it may be a honeymoon, I don't know, but right now, what we're seeing is we've got the attitude among the appointed leadership from Hegseth on down that it is not business as usual anymore. We're not just going to say, well, that's just the way we do things around here. And I love it. In fact, I tell you what, let me weed down in my stack here and find one a little further down in the stack. I think I pulled this from Breitbart. Did I? Yeah, Breitbart. Breitbart's got one. Did you know that even the media, the press pool in the Pentagon is feeling it right now? Story here on Breitbart. I'll give you the headline. You ready? Dateline yesterday, 2 days ago. Legacy media outlets are silent during the Biden press crackdown. They now decry losing their Pentagon workspaces. The liberal media is finding out real soon, or right now, that it's not business as usual anymore. I've got New York Times, NBC News, National Public Radio, Politico, The Washington Post, CNN, The Hill, and The War Zone have all been told they have to give up their workspaces to allow more room for The Washington Examiner, Newsmax, The Free Press, The Daily Caller, who else? American News Network, Breitbart, and, oh, by the way, Huffington Post. Huffington Post, yep. So it's apparently bipartisan. Liberals are getting there, too. What you got?
Did you see the back and forth Trump had with the Huffington Post guy?
Where yeah.
He goes, who are you with? Huffington Post? I thought they died.
Yeah. He goes, oh, really? Are they still around? I thought they died. Horrible news. And then he went on and said, next. Yeah, the Trump Pentagon's decision, according to Breitbart, to remove the legacy media outlets from their long-held workspaces and replace them with other news outlets has generated outrage. Outrage! How dare you? I know. You know what? It's a new day. Maybe, if you want to report the news, you'll actually report the news and not editorialize it all the time. Thank you very much, NPR. Thank you very much, Politico, who got how many millions of dollars off USAID?
By the way, I think Dale Strong introduced the legislation to defund them.
Defund USAID?
Or no, the NPR. I think I did see that. Yeah, I think it was Dale Strong that introduced that.
I did see that. So yeah, it's a whole new day. And so here's something. In terms of peace through strength, there's a lot of folks sitting up taking notice right now that Trump just made the announcement yesterday that he's sick of watching Hamas dribble out hostages. One, two, maybe three at a time. You know, we'll get you a few more next week and we'll do a parade with them. And we'll stand there and do a photo op where we have all of our guys in their Hamas gear with their AK-47s posturing with their masks on next to this emaciated-looking prisoner that we've held hostage for no other reason except that we could. Well, President Donald Trump expressed dismay, according to Daily Wire, over the appearance of three Israeli hostages who emerged from Hamas captivity looking like Holocaust survivors, he said. He said, I watched the hostages come back today and they look like Holocaust survivors. It was three men, Or Levy, Ohad Ben Ami, and Eli Sharabi. He said they were in horrible condition. They were emaciated. It looked like many years ago Holocaust survivors. I don't know how much longer we can take that, he said. He said his patience is running out. Now, the Times of Israel is reporting that these prisoners were reportedly chained, gagged, burned with hot objects, hung by their feet, starved. I mean, they came out just literally looking like they had not eaten in God knows when. And there's zero reason for it. And Hamas is using them like trophies, like photo op trophies. Trump's response, peace through strength. This gets fixed by this weekend. I want the rest of them out or all hell's going to break out. What does that mean? I don't know. But you know what? What he just basically said was, this is a bad deal and I'm sick of it. Like one of the guys who came out, 52-year-old Sharabi, Eli Sharabi, he did not know until he got out after being tortured for over a year. He did not know that his wife, his two daughters, and his brother had all been killed. And he found out after coming out. That's just like next level awful right there. Anyway, peace through strength. I will tell you this. Peace through strength is our allies sit up and take notice because the Israeli security cabinet met today and agreed completely with Donald Trump that they're sick of watching their people paraded. Israel didn't know if they had anybody that was going to say something. Now they do. Now the big dog is willing to say something. And they're like, yep, thank you for that, Mr. President. We agree. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's story on Fox, he convened the security cabinet Tuesday after Hamas announced it was going to delay the next release. You know, we'll get around to it. You know what? Screw that. Well, peace through strength says people are paying attention to the fact that we're actually speaking out. And then you got to look at what's happening in terms of readiness. Let's talk about readiness for a minute. I mean, military readiness has been ranked as the lowest it's been perhaps in modern history. We have had recruiting that hit 40-year lows in the latter part of 2024. We were missing mission on recruiting 2 to 3 years in a row, almost the entire time Biden was in office. We had any number of things that occurred that it really stymied morale. Now they're going to say, "Oh, it was because of COVID." Well, yeah, COVID mandates stripping people of their careers, denying them their religious liberties. Telling them they're going to be kicked out dishonorably. How about this? The pullout in Afghanistan. As an Afghan vet, I can tell you it was disheartening. It was discouraging. It was maddening. It was emotional to watch that happen. And we lost 13 service members at the Abbey Gate. And what do we have? The commander-in-chief looking at his watch while they brought the bodies off the plane. And nobody took responsibility. Nobody. I mean, in the administration, nobody resigned. Nobody. All of those things, that and then like, you know, transgenders in the showers and in the barracks and just craziness. You look at it and go, my gosh. Well, recruiting hit an all-time low. And then you look at DEI being incorporated. How about this? I pulled this off military.com. Military.com, by the way, don't be confused by the name. It is not at all a conservative bastion. Military.com is just upset that we're getting rid of DEI. Story here, Dateline yesterday. Air Force is now nixing its officer applicant diversity goals. No, they're not. What they're doing is they're nixing policies that say we want to recruit certain demographics more than others. That's what they're... We not so long ago had a recruitment statement by Pentagon officials that we have too many white pilots. What? I don't care what color the pilot is. As long as they're bringing the heat when I'm the man on the ground, you know what I'm saying? As long as they can fly that bird better than anybody else, as long as they can do things in the air that only Superman can do and put rounds on target, why do I care what color they are? DEI ruins the idea of meritocracy. The Department of the Air Force, according to military.com, will no longer set its ambitious goals to diversify the officer applicant pool. The latest initiative to be scrapped by the service as a result of Donald Trump's executive orders aiming to rid the military of policies he disagrees with. How about this? Policies the vast majority of Americans disagree with. So yeah, in 2022, just so you know, the Air Force set this diversity goal in place. And it was like this aspirational benchmark they were trying to achieve. They were trying to recruit for minority capacity to increase. And I'm fine with that. Here's the idea. You don't just hire them because they're a skin color. You remove any impediments to skin color being hired. That's what you do. And then you allow meritocracy to take over. Well, Phil, that's discriminatory. No, by God, it's not. It's not. I have served with some outstanding men and women who were of every color, every creed, every religion, and nobody cared. Nobody looked at each other and go, dang, man, you're black. I didn't even realize. I gotta think this through. Nobody did that. Not once in my 30 years. Not once. Yeah, military.com reported in December the Department of Air Force had not hit its lofty diversity goals. Yeah, how about that? They wanted to make sure they had an even breakdown. They wanted 67.5% white, 13% black, 10% Asian, 1.5% Native American, Native Alaskan, and 1% Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islander. They needed the BIPOC. BIPOC. What are we talking about here? What they're talking about is no meritocracy, favoritism based upon your demographic. And that, my friends, is a ruination of readiness. Got to take a break. I'll come back on this. Peace through strength. Yes, I will. I got more. How about this? Hegseth memo came out. Transgenders in the military? What'd he say? I'll tell you all about it. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Giving you all the truth you can slap on a bumper sticker. All right. So I got a bunch of text messages we'll get to in a minute, and I'm going to be cleaning up some more of the stuff on Peace Through Strength. But I got to go to the phones because Sparky from Harvest is on the line. Hey, man, how are you doing?
I am good. Enjoyed the last discussion on the military and agree with you 100%. As an aviator, I flew with some fine men and women, Army aviators of every color and description. Nobody saw color or gender, in my opinion.
Yeah.
By and large.
Yeah.
It's just once we cut us, we bleed green. But the people that were active duty that I've been in communications with in the last few seasons, they report that the whole notion of the woke agenda, period, let alone the transgender stuff, and meeting their diversity goals, it's at odds with the military fundamental that integrity and the truth matters. And when you have to live in a fantasy bubble world,
yeah,
and pretend like gender is fluid and go along with something that you know intellectually dishonest and biologically dishonest, it kills the entire climate of truth telling. And people have to be able to tell the commander the brutal truth so that they can make informed decisions. And
wow,
talk about a breath of fresh air now with the new president and the new Secretary of Defense.
Man, so well said, Spark. I mean, you need to come host this show for me sometime because that was eloquent and so well done. I'd love the idea that the truth telling is being, you know, put on the back burner. And I'm paraphrasing what you said, but yeah, absolutely. It defies common sense. It defies reality. And now we're defying the wokeness, and I love that.
Yeah.
All right, man. Appreciate you. Go ahead. What you got?
Okay. Have a good evening.
All right, buddy. See ya. I got one text here. I think it was, is it Tom? Yeah, Tom with all the kids. I love that. It's Tom with all the kids in Huntsville. He was talking about the Pentagon. He said that was the 4 and 5. We hated those. Yes, the 4 and 5. Oh, like I get shudders thinking about it. But yes, indeed. Thank you for your service too, Tom. Jamie from Pulaski, Alabama says, oldest sister was born in Japan during Korea. Next sister was born at Benning. Next sister was born in Germany. I was born at Rucker. Growing up on post was a great way to be raised. Yes, it is. Yes. Yes, it is. I'm watching family right now living on a military post and thinking, man, everything's right here. And it's just so cool. It's like a little insular society in some ways, but it's also a microcosm of America. And there's problems. It's not everything's perfect. I get it. But it was a good experience for me. And then a lot of times we lived on the economy. We lived in England. Dad was the U.S. Army liaison to the British Army. And we lived on the British economy. But I went to school on an Air Force base. I've said it before. Some of y'all even went there. I know somebody chimed in. London Central High School in London, England, 7th, 8th, and 9th grade was probably one of my best school experiences because of just the uniqueness of it. It was also a time in my life where I needed something different than what I had been doing, and that's the place where I accepted Christ, and it really changed my life dramatically. But yeah, living on post, it can actually be really, really good. Now, it can be disruptive. It really depends on the parents. Moving, it can be disruptive. I get it. But the reality is, for me, it was good. And for a lot of you, I know it was. Bruce from Springville chimed in. He says, the key word in this is deterrence. It encompasses all of superior armament, tactics, logistics, and intelligence that would make any enemy think twice before engaging us. Absolutely. Perfectly said. John from Pike Road says, hey, Phil, this is John from Pike Road. Changing the subject. Okay. I saw the redistricting map is going to court again to hopefully go back. Oh, well, that's good to hear. Did not know that. That's maybe, I'll tell you what, I may have to include that in my, John, if you have a link to an article on that, I'm doing a segment on home fries here in a minute, and I might want to talk about that. Then Dan from Huntsville says, bring back Benning's School for Boys, a place where you wake up bright and early every morning to enjoy group physical activities, followed by breakfast serving eggs any way you like them, so long as you like them scrambled, shooting, nature walks, parachuting, the school where you learn collectively, individually, that the ultimate way is to treat your fellow man. Dan, thank you. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll wrap it up when I get back. Y'all stay tuned. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I am talking about from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I'm talking about that prettiest little town on the plains. That would be Auburn. And I do mean to say we even add in big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi, just for good measure. Glad you guys are with us. We're at 3:30 right now, the 3:30 segment anyway, on the Taco Tuesday here. I'm wrapping up this Peace Through Strength discussion. I'm on fire with it right now. It means a lot to me personally. It means a lot to, I think, our nation to know that we are not just going to keep screwing around with our military and turning the U.S. military, the much vaunted U.S. military, into a petri dish for social experimentation. Not the least of which was the transgenders in the military policy. Now, let me caveat this by saying, I don't fault someone for wanting to serve. I do fault someone for wanting to serve when they know they can't. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is, if you're non-deployable, then what business do you have being in an expeditionary military? Nothing. That's like saying, I can't carry somebody, but I'd like to be a fireman. That's like saying, I can't drive a car, but I'd like to be a policeman driving a beat. That's like, I mean, pick it. There are any number of, and granted, most people out there are going, well, you can't discriminate, can you? Actually, you're allowed to have a thing called BFOQs. It's a legal term. You can look it up. BFOQ. That's bona fide occupational qualifications. What it says is, if you cannot meet certain physical standards that the job entails, that you don't have to be given a job. Why would we take somebody in to the U.S. military who is going to go through all kinds of transitional therapies and even surgeries that makes them automatically non-deployable for upwards of a year? Why are we doing that, especially when it involves issues of mental health, especially when it involves things that are also divisive in the barracks, if you will? Well, military.com is crying again. Military.com, Dateline yesterday, transgender recruits and gender-affirming healthcare are restricted by a Hegseth memo. First of all, it's not gender-affirming, it's gender non-affirming if you get down to it. It's saying the way you were born was wrong, so we got to fix you. There's a memo that apparently came out. It was dated this past Friday. Not getting a lot of headlines, is it? I had to dig this one out. I knew it was out there. Now, part of that's because there's so much news. But anyway, apparently, in a court filing on Monday, the Trump administration is fighting a lawsuit already on this whole transgender issue. It came out that Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth signed a memo on Friday saying, quote, effective immediately, all new accessions for individuals with histories of gender dysphoria are paused, and all unscheduled, scheduled, or planned medical procedures associated with affirming or facilitating a gender transition for service members are paused. He didn't say canceled, but he did say paused. What he's basically saying is, until we've had a chance to look through this whole situation, we ain't doing it. Y'all, that is nothing but good. Because, listen, I can tell you, I know what it was like being with guys going downrange, and there'd be that one individual who didn't or who couldn't, and everybody talked about him. Well, what's wrong with Joe? I don't know. Something with his feet. What do you mean? I don't know. He's not going. What do you mean he's not going? Yeah, he's gonna be in the rear with the gear. I mean, granted, somebody has to be part of the rear detail. I get it. But the ones who were not physically able always had kind of the, you know, that thing comment about them. Well, you got that thing. Well, why would we voluntarily take people who have that thing? And the point is, we don't have to. The only reason why we did was because of DEI, period. It was virtue signaling, period. There is no readiness issue that says, you know, we just really need more transgenders who can't deploy. That's awesome. Can they jump out of an airplane? Well, no. Can they drive a truck? Probably not. Can they? And some of you out there are probably going, well, of course they could drive a truck. Not in the combat zone. How about this? Our military academies, which, by the way, a lot of people don't realize, to go to one of the military academies is not just prestigious in the military sense. It's actually considered an Ivy League education. And they've gone very woke over the last few years. DEI has been ingrained. Critical race theory has been ingrained. And what's also interesting is when the Supreme Court came back with its decision last year to ban the use of affirmative action in the enrollment of students at universities, the military academies were exempt. Why? Because they answered to the Department of Defense. So it took extra measures. So in that environment, you would think that they would look at it and go, you know, fellas, it really is kind of the national trend. The Supreme Court's already ruled. We ought to get on board with that because it might hurt our recruiting. It might hurt our accessions. It might hurt people being, you know, nominated or even wanted to be nominated for a service academy slot. Nope, they didn't do it. Well, each of the service academies has what's known as a board of visitors. The board of visitors is the official, and they're like the senior advisors, most of whom are the academy graduates from the past, Army, Air Force, Navy, Coast Guard. They all have their board of visitors. President Trump just posted this morning, yesterday morning actually, on his social media, the service academies. He says the left-wing woke mind virus that has affected the service academies over the last 4 years. He said, I've ordered the immediate dismissal of the Board of Visitors for the Army, Air Force, Navy, and Coast Guard academies. Wow. He said, we will have the strongest military in history, and that begins by appointing new individuals to these boards. We must make the military academies great again. I happen to sit on the Board of Advisors for a national organization called STARS. STARS is an organization that it's basically designed to root out extremism in the ranks from the woke side of things. And y'all, STARS is loving this because most of them are academy grads. Identity months, dead at the DOD. This came out a couple days ago. Actually, it came out 10 days ago. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, identity months are dead at DOD. There will be no more separate and individualized months to celebrate certain demographics over others. So there will no longer be during duty hours. You can do it off duty all you want. Go to a parade, go march, do all the things. But the training time and DOD dollars will not go to celebrating individual demographics. National African American Black History Month, Women's History Month, Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month, National Hispanic Heritage Month, National Disability Employment Awareness Month, National American Indian Heritage Month, Gay Pride, all of it. All of those months that consume time on the calendar with special events and little flags and things we have to do and cakes and all the stuff we do to virtue signal are gone at the DOD. Hegseth also said, by the way, you'll be happy to know this. I won't read you the whole article from The Hill yesterday. We welcome Doge at the DOD. Can I have some Doge sound effect? I think we need it. Play it. Doge sound effect. Doge. Thank you for breaking things up. That was awesome. Yeah, Hegseth says we welcome Doge. Now, what's this doing to us? What is happening? Let me just say this. What's happening is exactly what you'd want to have happen. Morale's going up. It is. Morale's going up. Readiness is going up, too. How can you tell, Phil? Readiness is too soon for that, isn't it? Trump got elected in November. In December, we hit the highest recruiting in a decade. That's like right after he got elected. The highest recruiting in a decade. January even beat that. Officials say that December 2024 was their best December actually in 15 years, with nearly 350 new soldiers enlisted every single day that month. Army recruiters shared on their social media platforms, "Our recruiters have one of the toughest jobs, inspiring the next generation of soldiers to serve. Congratulations. Keep up the good work." And it's basically what's happening right now is readiness is going to be increasing because, in part, we're going to have the people there to do it. Y'all, we are seeing the script flipped like overnight. I'm sitting here right now with an article from military.com who is probably hating to have to say this, but Dateline yesterday, the Army is already nearly halfway to its ambitious goal of recruiting 61,000 soldiers during this fiscal year. The fiscal year to start in October. That's October, November, December, January. They are literally 4 months into the year, and they're already halfway to their recruiting goal. They have not had this in over a decade. It is unbelievable what is happening right now. Peace through strength. I think we're back, baby. I think we're back. Let me get a few text messages before I go to a break, and we'll change gears when we come back, do some home fries. Chris from Sterrett, Alabama. He says, when I was in recruiting for the Navy from 2007 to 2010, we had a recruiting goal for Black, Hispanic, and Pacific Islander. Recruiters got extra points for these groups. Wow. He said, I'm all for diversity, and I've seen it used many positive ways, but to force it like it has been has just not been right. Chris, thanks for your service, and thank you again for that, too. Adam from Athens says, have you heard the Reverend in Chattanooga calling for violence against Muskie? Yes, I have. Yes, I have. Yes, I have. What kind of church is he pastor? Harry from Madison, Alabama sends me a link to something on YouTube. I'll take a look at it later, but thanks so much for signing up for the newsletter too, Harry. Pete from Decatur says, I have some academy grads in my family. My son was going to do that, but the woke bothered me, so we sent him to the Citadel. If you know of anyone whose kid wants to make a military career, that's where they ought to look. Okay, personal testimony. I'll take it. And then David at Bucky's again says, Phil, peace through strength. I was serving in 1979 when Iranians took over the American embassy and held 52 Americans for 444 days. They were released just after Reagan was sworn in as president. Peace through strength. It's a great place to stop. It's a great reminder, too, what it means to have leadership at the helm that people look to and realize, I better respect that or it's going to come smack me right in the face. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, taking a break, coming right back, going to do some home fries. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.